We're wonderfully blessed to be here today. The disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. I haven't found a better reason for coming together on the first day of the week than the same one that they found. I've never understood why people come together on the first day of the week and then don't do the very thing the Bible says the disciples did when they came together and the very purpose for which they came. But that's what it says in Acts 20 and 7, and we ought to pay heed to that, because that was written for our learning. And all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And I think those are good reasons. I have always considered myself a patriotic person. I fly the flag. I celebrate patriotic holidays. I like patriotic music. I support our servicemen. It pains me to be critical of my country. From time to time, I find myself in that situation. I can't bury my head in the sand. I can't remain quiet. My country's changing. It's much different than it was in 50 years ago, say, and the difference is not in a good way. And so we want to look at some things this morning along that line. And there are those who I believe do have their head in the sand, and they're saying there's nothing wrong in America. But when we look at the Scriptures, the Bible tells us some things, like in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In Isaiah chapter 5, actually we find that verse along with some others. We'll begin reading at verse 18. And it'll include that verse again. "Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as if it were a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel." Well, this was the way Israel was described back in the time of Isaiah. There are a lot of things, a lot of similarities that we can look at. In fact, we might notice some things that were said about them in this passage. It says, ungodliness was pulled by cords of falsehood. The people were being lied to. They would defy God to do anything about it. And so they let it go, swept it under the rug. He said they're wise in their own eyes. There are those who are arrogant, who are prideful, and have a wrong attitude about things. Their moral vision is dimmed, he says in verse 22. And they're calling evil good and good evil. They even justify the wicked. They justify things that are wrong and condemn those who are doing what's right. God said their root would rot and their blossom ascend like dust. So as we think about calling evil good and some of the things that are taking place, we see in our country today the condoning of various things, of perversions of our time. There are many popular TV stars, many of which are vulgar, also in some of their songs, some of their music, if you can call it that, saying some things that ought not even be thought, much less said, or put to music for people to listen to. Some of our leaders are in the forefront of the gay and lesbian movement. The month of June has been declared Gay and Lesbian Month by our president. Most advocate abortion rights. Many of them do. And many of the stars do that. Many of the Hollywood stars that people are hanging on to. And these stars are popular because America has made them popular. They wouldn't be where they are if the people didn't want them to be where they are and put them where they are. And so we raise the question, and that is, how far will it go? Well, as long as Americans continue to buy and rent filth, it will get worse. How do we know that? The Bible says so. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 13, notice what the Apostle Paul said. Verse 12, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, they don't reach a kind of a standstill. If you're bent on being immoral, if you're bent on being evil, you're not going to find a plateau where you're going to park yourself and just pause there and say, well, this is as far as I'm going. I'm not going any farther. The farther you go, the more downhill it is and the easier it is to go farther. The Bible says evil men and impostors will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They don't reach a plateau. And so we ought to understand that. In our society today, homosexuality is labeled as good, but the Bible condemns it in no uncertain terms. In describing the immorality of the Gentiles in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says in verse 24 through 27, wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was due. They received consequences of what they had done. And so we raise the question, and that is, where have the morals gone wrong in our society? America has established its own laws for acceptable conduct. In fact, the word sin, when's the last time you heard the word sin in public by any of our leaders? Well, we just don't hear that word very much. It's an unpopular word. It's not really a politically correct word to use today because most people don't believe there's any such thing as sin. The word sin creates discomfort among people today, and so it's not a word that's used that often. When we talk about morals, we're talking about relating to, dealing with, or capable of making the distinction between right and wrong in our conduct. And certainly, as we think about things that are taking place, such as same-sex marriage, what's going on in our society is unprecedented. That our country would even think about legalizing such a thing. When I say it's unprecedented, never before in the history of the world has a nation as big as this country legalized same-sex marriage. Not even the Roman Empire. Although it was practiced, it wasn't made something legal and sanctioned by the government. But we are so enlightened today. We are so full of pride. We are wise in our own eyes. We know so much more than everybody, all the generations before us. And we have what I've referred to before that C.S. Lewis called chronological snobbery, that this generation is so much more intelligent, knows so much more than all those generations that went before it. And so we become snobbish in that knowledge that we have. Well, as we think about some things that are going on in our society, we think about the breakdown of the home. It's in sad condition. As we look at the age at marriage for those who divorce in America in 2011, the most recent time we have, information for those under 20 years old who married, the divorce rate for women was 27.6, for men 11.7. The vast difference there is because women get married earlier than men generally, but you see how it catches up in the next bracket there, 20 to 24 years, the women is 36.6, but the men it jumps up to 38.8 of the breakdown of the home. From the ages 25 to 29 years, it's 16.4 for women, 22.3 for men. For the ages 30 to 34, for women, it's 8.5. For men, it's 11.6, still higher for the men. And then from 35 to 39 years old, marriages that make it that far tend to last longer, and so the rate goes down, 5.1 for women and 6.5 for men. And so those are some statistics that are very alarming to us. And as we look further and look at some more statistics, it's an interesting statement. The divorce rate in America for first marriages versus second and third marriages, 50% of first marriages, 67% of second ones, 74% of third marriages end in divorce, according to Jennifer Baker of the Forrest Institute of Professional Psychology in Springfield, Missouri. As we look at some other statistics, we might also notice that birth rates outside the marriage relationship in the 1950s was about 4.5%. In the 1980s, it had jumped to 22%. In 2012, 40.8%. Also, among those unmarried cohabiting couples living together, ages 15 to 24, in 1995, the rate was 34%. In 2002, 43%. In 2010, 49%. And so, although the divorce rate appears to be going down, there's a reason for it. People aren't getting married. They're just living together without marriage. And, of course, they fail to form that bond that God intended to take place. And some people say, well, it's just a piece of paper. It's a contract. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. And therefore, it needs to be regarded as such. Also, as we look at some other statistics here, we mentioned the number of unmarried couples living together in 2008 was 5.5%. And unmarried couples living together that are male-female unions, 89%, the other 11% are same-sex unions, and that number is also growing. And as we look at some other statistics, professional jobs held by women, 1957, about 35%, 2010, 51%. What's the significance of that? Well, it's certainly not wrong for a woman to have a job outside the home. I don't think the Bible teaches that. We see examples of women that did, and so that's not wrong. But can it be done to the neglect of their responsibilities as mothers? That's the thing to think about. Titus 2, verses 4 and 5, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so what happens so many times is that families have left God's moral standard. They've left it out of the picture. And because of that, children are often home alone after school, and all kinds of things happen. And that's not good. So as we look at this, we have to assess what's going wrong. What can we do to correct it? And is it beyond reach? And so what we have, I believe, is a shameless society. We're not the first. We may not be the last. But when we look at the Lord's rebuke of ancient Israel, especially of the priests and the prophets, it ought to serve as a warning to us for our society. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 15, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Blushing has been a thing that usually people do when they're embarrassed. Something happens, they blush. They tend to get red in the face, and it is an embarrassment. But Israel had lost their ability to be ashamed about anything. They had lost their ability to blush. That's happening to our country too. And so Israel is not alone in that. We see a shameless society emerging. And America has a society that's forgotten how to blush. Things that once were done in darkness and in secret are now Main Street exhibitions. No embarrassment at all. We're exposed to vulgarity and profanity daily on TV and radio and in other areas as well. The Apostle Paul wrote about the pagan society of his day. We've already read a portion of that. And I hope you'll read it again in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 32, of the things that are happening and things that are going on in society, and that went on in biblical times, and God called it more than shameless. They could not blush. They had lost their ability to be ashamed of anything, and had become wise in their own conceits, wise in their own eyes, filled with pride. As we think about the shameless society, we see a growing problem of immodesty today on the part of women many times. Many Christians are being pulled in by society and are being influenced by it, haven't developed a sense of shame. And Christians are to have a sense of shame. That means deep-rooted in character, expressed by clothing and general conduct. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly clothing, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. And they had become shameless, and our society has too, where near nakedness is paraded in public anymore. And so what are Christians to do? What can we do? Well, it's easy to avoid our responsibilities. and blame our failure on a shameless society. Early Christians had to live in a much worse society than we live in today. Much worse conditions, and yet notice what they were expected to do. They were expected to be blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That was what was expected of them. Philippi was a Roman colony, and yet this is what Christians were taught who lived in Philippi. How much more should that apply to us today? And what are Christians to do? Well, let's notice further. Saints in Ephesus, they lived in a city where a fertility goddess was worshipped. Her name was Diana, also went by the name of Artemis. You've seen pictures of her and her many breasts and all of that. There was a temple to Diana there where people worshipped. You remember the things that happened to the Apostle Paul when he was there. And so Christians who were living in Ephesus were living in perilous times. They were living in a very corrupt society. And then look at what was expected of them. Could Christians be expected to live right and teach their children, even under these conditions? Well, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, beginning at verse 3, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becometh saints." That was practiced in the temple of Diana. Religious prostitutes and all of that. "Nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not befitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them." Paul commands them, don't be partakers of that. It may be permeating society, but don't partake of it. That same command is to us today. It's not just there to them, but not to us. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible tells us, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord." That's what Christians at Ephesus were told to do, who were living in a corrupt society. How much more should that apply to us even today? And so as we kind of conclude this, and also a passage we want to look at in 2 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 7, where we have a similar admonition made to Christians living at that time. In chapter 2, and beginning at verse 7, it says that how that God was delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked. Think about the times in which Lot lived, living in Sodom and all of its corruption. It had reached the bottom of the barrel. And so in verse 7, he talks about righteous Lot being sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked. "For that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their lawless deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment." The Lord knows how to deliver us, and he's telling us in these verses how to do it. We've got to apply what he said to do. And so we ought to be expected to live above the society in which we live if they're not living right. And so as we kind of draw this to a conclusion, although many around us see nothing wrong in America, they've got their heads in the sand. Let's be focused on doing what's right. Let's be vocal about what's right. Let's speak about it in public. In the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In a society that acts, though there's nothing wrong in America, a godly Christian can know that there's nothing wrong in living for Christ. And we can do that. It's been done before. It can be done again. I believe we're capable of doing that. I believe if we set our hearts to it, we can accomplish that, just as Christians who lived in difficult times in the past. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, that's where you need to begin, is to become a Christian, to get in a praying relationship with the Father. The Bible teaches that the ears of the Lord are open to the righteous. It doesn't make a statement like that concerning the unrighteous. And so therefore we ought to want to be in a praying relationship to know that when I pillow my head at night, God hears my prayers. And I can truly address him as my Father, and he will be my Father. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ. That's what people were taught to do on the day of Pentecost. We still teach it that same way. There's not a good reason to teach it any other way. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, will you please come as we stand and sing the hymn that's been selected for your encouragement?